Hello, this is testing. We have one cord going to the power. There are two wires. That is, one is the left mic and the right mic, which gets connected to line in, or the mic line in of the digital recorder. We insert the mini disc, we start the recorder, and the recording goes on. In order to stop the record, you just stop it and the record button goes off. Thank you. This is just a demo. Hello, hello, hello. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, 1, 2, 3. I'll check now the volume, how it is, whether it is good or bad. Okay, thank you.
Nights in a row this weekend.
Yes. Could you please speak something?
Hello, how are you? Is that recording now?
Yeah, it's recording now.
Is it loud enough?
Yes, just 1 minute. Could you speak something more? Like testing 1, 2, 3? Because I need to check.
Marist College.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
The main part of the book was about, there was a good section right on Poughkeepsie, which was a new property at the time, you know, and the brothers, many of the brothers hadn't seen it yet. And then they described each school that the brothers had.
Wow, that must have been pretty thick.
Then, that was in 1917.
Between 1917 and 1920. Uh-huh. I think the book came out no later than 1920. Uh-huh. And then in the 1940s, Brother Joseph Robert brought it up to date. And that his thing was published in what we call the Bulletin of Studies. Month by month, he had a new section. And he had a section on Marist College, which was at that time was the headquarters of the, this property was the headquarters of Marist Brothers in the United States. And the old brothers were here, the infirmary was here, the retired brothers were here, and then there was a training center for the brothers. High school, novitiate, and scholasticate. And then he had a section called Our Laurels, which was all the schools they had at the time. Mm-hmm. Then he had a section called Our Faded Laurels, the schools that they had when they had closed.
You don't have to stay here. Okay.
And that's also over in Leonard's.
Okay, let me see what we might do here.
I'm sorry, I didn't give that to you. Soon.
First, I have an announcement to make about what we're doing. This is an interview conducted with the former Marist Brother and Marist College librarian, Adrian Perot. We are in Fontaine Hall on the Marist College campus. The date is Monday, June 10th. It's about 2:30 in the afternoon.
June 11th.
One day behind. Sorry. The interview is given by Gus Nolan, a former college a colleague of Adrian Perot, and currently one of the editors of Marist Hall. Later, Aid, we're going to ask you to sign a release that what you say with us, we can use for this enterprise, if that's agreeable.
Fine, as long as she signs it for me.
She will sign it for you, and as long as you nod and say it's okay, we'll accept that as positive. For this afternoon, we would like to focus on you, and this, I mean, your own life. You're coming to the Marist community, and then your career as a librarian. Did that ever happen in terms of a choice that you wanted to make, or was it a choice the provincial made?
Choice the provincial made. I arrived here in 1932 for high school.
Okay. Let's go back earlier. When were you born?
I was born June 19, 1919.
Where?
In Haverhill, Massachusetts.
Okay. And how many brothers and sisters are there in the family? Or were there then?
Were there? 11 grew up. And we're only 4 today.
And where are you among the 11? Are you the 5th?
I was the 9th of the 11.
9th of the 11. So you're almost the baby of the family.
Let's see. I should say, not 9 of the 14, but 3 died as infants.
I see.
I was the 9th of the 14.
All right. And where did you go to grade school?
I went to St. Joseph's Grade School in Haverhill, Mass. I had the brothers from the 2nd grade until the 8th grade when I came here for high school.
So you had the Maris brothers in your grade school years.
My 2nd grade teacher was one of the original way, way back brothers.
Okay.
One of those that came back in about 1910, something like that. He came to the United States.
Did your father, was he employed in one of the mills in New England?
Or? He was employed in the shoe factories of Haverhill.
Well-known shoe factories. They have a long history. When you came to the brothers, where were the other members of the family? Had they gone on? Were any married at that time? Or?
Oh, yes, there were a couple of them married.
Uh-huh. We won't go through the details, but we're just getting a sense of the family and the growing up part and how this all developed. A question for a little later, historically, but were any of your family in the military in World War II?
World War I, my uncle Adrian was killed in the Battle of Chateau Thierry on June 3, 1918.
Important point. Were you baptized, Adrian?
Yes, I was.
And you became Brother Adrian later in life. I didn't think that happened in those days.
Yes, it did.
It did. Okay, so that was World War I. And then World War II?
My brother Gene was in the Navy. My brother Joe was in the Army. He spent 2.5 years in the South Pacific.
Uh-huh.
And my brother Roland, who was too old for the draft, too young for World War I, too old for World War II, he went up to Portsmouth Navy Yard during the war to work on building the ships.
Uh-huh.
And my brother Raymond, who was also too old for the draft, he had already been in the Army in between the two wars. He became a defense transportation worker.
Okay, let's move on and get you're coming to this property. You came here to go to high school?
I came here for the high school, right.
Okay, and that was in
1932. Let me add one little thing. Brother Frederick Charles had intended to bring me to Tingsboro, but he found out my French wasn't too good. He brought me here instead. Meanwhile, he had described the Tingsboro stone building. And I got there, I'm looking around, where the heck is that beautiful building, you know? It was all wooden building at the time.
I see. So you came to the Hermitage here, was a kind of a... We have pictures of that, and we know how fragile it was. Let's go on then. How many were in your class when you were going through here? Was it a small class of 5 or 20, or how many would be in the...
Well, I'll tell you, we were so many that they broke us up into 2 groups.
I see.
The older ones went to the novitiate at the end of 2nd year high school, and we stayed in the juniorate for our 3rd year high school.
Give us an idea of the numbers. Would there be 10, 15?
35 between the two groups.
35 between the two groups. So 17 went on and 18 stayed back?
Something like that.
Okay.
You want to know names, some of them?
Yes.
Kieran Brennan was in the older half.
Okay.
Gilbert Osmond was in the older half.
What about Curtin?
Curtin was the baby of the whole group.
I see.
He's in my group, the 2nd half.
Where is he today?
He's in Roselle, New Jersey. And this weekend he'll be celebrating 70 years of brother.
Where did he spend most of his years?
Curtin spent at least 30 years in the Philippines, teaching in the Philippines.
Okay,
and he spent at least 3 years in the mother house. I don't know just what he did there, but anyway, he was called there.
So like yourself, he would have a good historical view of the campus here in those years,
right,
having been a fellow student of yours. Okay.
It's hard to imagine the campus because, for instance, where the original gatehouses and townhouses are, A, B, and C, B is on the site where we used to have the pitcher's mound of the first camp, as we called it. We had three on that baseball field. We played three games together. If I wasn't a good player, so I was in Camp 3. So was Curtin.
I see.
Dennis Buckley, another one of my group, he ended up in Camp 2. Pop Pinard, he was in Camp 1.
He was a superstar.
He was a superstar,
among
right.
Among the athletes in those days that you had here.
And Walter was a pitcher. Walter Redwood.
I have a little comment here. People who have me asking these questions, were there any nicknames among the brothers in those days?
Oh, you had plenty of nicknames. Every brother has three names. Some of the nicknames you never use them.
We won't use them here, right.
Others you call about the nickname.
Okay.
Some others said the nickname was nothing else than their family name.
Okay.
Their Christian name, which wasn't used much in those days.
In later years, you were called Aid.
Right.
And then sometimes Federal Aid.
Right.
And sometimes First Aid.
And Financial Aid.
And Financial Aid, okay. And Heavenly Aid was the best of them all, because in those days you brought wisdom to us. So we're talking here about your life as a young trainee, and then you're going into the novitiate and becoming a brother. And then how long were you trained here after the novitiate?
I had a total of 7 years in this property, 2 years after the novitiate, 2 years of college, when it was a Marist Normal School.
So you had 2 years in the normal school?
Right.
Which would really be the first 2 years of college?
First 2 years of college.
Okay.
So my diploma was actually from Fordham, because it was Marist Normal School, division of Fordham University.
I see.
And everybody graduated, everybody that finished here went on to Fordham.
Okay. Then we want to move into the third section, which is probably the one that we want to ask more about. Let's talk about your career as a librarian.
You're skipping my years of teaching?
Oh, all right. Let's go back to teaching. Where were you first assigned?
My first assignment was to Manchester, New Hampshire, second grade.
You were a second grade teacher.
And then I transferred to Mount St. Michael, fourth grade, followed by the fifth grade, 2 years there. And then I went up to St. Anne's School of Lawrence for sixth grade. Then two more years in Lowell, St. Joseph's School of Lowell High School.
You're moving right along with your class, the original
right.
class, as it seems. You go through grammar school and you graduated when they graduated. And
right.
And then you went on to high school? Did you ever teach in a high school?
2 years in Lowell.
Uh-huh.
And 2 years at St. Anne's Academy.
I see.
And then my first assignment as a librarian was at St. Anne's Academy for 5 years, followed by 8 years at Mount St. Michael Library.
Okay, let's go back a little bit. How did it come about that you were assigned to... Were you a great reader or a good handler of books?
Bimbo was...
There's a nickname now that just came in, okay? Bimbo is the name we used for...
Brother Louis Ulmer.
Okay.
He was provincial. And he was trying to get some brothers interested in getting library degrees. And it was a retreat, and I came up, and during the retreat, the provincial always interviews all the brothers. And I came in, and he says, "Are you going to continue in Latin?" I said, "No." I said, "I'd like to become a librarian." He said, "Oh, my gosh."
Oh.
He said, "I've been after so many brothers. Charlie Raymond and Henry Fremont were two of them that he mentioned that I remember now. Different brothers that said no, they didn't want to become librarians." And he says, "Here you are asking me," he says, So that's how I got transferred from New England to New York. And then I was full-time teacher, and I was taking four courses at Fordham at the same time.
And the courses were in library science?
No, they were not. I was getting my bachelor's degree.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then, as soon as I got my bachelor's degree in June of 1946, I went to St. George University. I was the first brother, Marius' brother, to attend St. John's.
Is that so?
And in a year and a half, one summer and one year, I got my degree. But I didn't let on that I had a degree. I took some more courses. And an extra summer and an extra fall term. So that I had plenty of experience. And then, as I was doing that.
In these years at the academy, your 5 years librarian at the academy, with your other responsibilities.
Right.
I mean, I might mention the choir as one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about the choir. The boy choristers from St. Anne's Academy.
Boy choristers St. Anne's Academy used to sing at St. Patrick's Cathedral.
They were like angels.
And
what was your task?
What's that?
What did you have to do? Did you teach them music?
No. They had a music teacher. I was the one in charge of discipline, taking the attendance track and stuff like that, and transporting them from the school on 76th Street down to the cathedral on 51st Street.
Tell us how that happened.
We went by bus.
Oh, not on the train?
No.
Oh, okay. But the bus was a hired bus. It was a coach.
A regular bus.
Yeah.
Regular city bus, you know, that was special.
And was Monsignor Green there at the time?
Monsignor William T. Green, he was the representative from the diocese. His title was, he was the director of music for the diocese, liturgical music. And Mr. Short played the piano.
And at the cathedral?
At St. Anne's. And then one day a week on Thursday, we went down to the cathedral, and Mr. Courtebois, a Frenchman, he was the organist. He took over the instructing the music the way he wanted, you know what I mean?
He was Dr. Courbon, if I remember.
What's that?
Dr. Courbon.
Right.
At the organ. Yes.
At the organ, right.
Yes. I know this because I replaced you.
Yeah.
As one of the choir masters at St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Oh, you took over?
Yeah. There was a guy in between. Clem Patrick was in between.
I remember Jerry Weiss.
Oh, Jerry Weiss was there also. Right, okay. But I got in there somewhere for 5 years, every Thursday and every Sunday morning. Now, we didn't talk about when do they sing. They practiced on Thursday.
And it was a high mass on Sunday morning.
Okay, what time did you have to get there?
We had to get there about 10 o'clock, I think it was.
Well, 9 for the practice.
9? I forget now.
Yeah, 9 for the practice and then 10 for the
mass.
And we get out about noontime.
Right.
All right, that takes care of some of the introductory things here. Moving on to your career as a librarian, moving from St. Anne's Academy, what was your next library? Mount St. Michael. Was this a new library, an old library? What was happening there?
Actually, the library when I got there was in the main building, the top floor.
Okay.
Over the main entrance.
Uh-huh.
And my job was to move it into where it is now.
And where is it now?
It's in the memorial building, the gym building.
Right. Okay.
And Brother Leo Silvius was principal. He said, this is what we're going to do. I said, no, Leo. I can do it my way.
Oh.
Boy, he balked. I was one of the first ones to tell him, no, your way is not good.
You were the librarian. You knew how the books should be moved.
And he wanted the school to stop. I said, no. The third and fourth year kids' classrooms are close to the existing library. So at the beginning of the period, the teachers are going to bring them, these third and fourth year kids, to the library, and we'll have a few kids. I had four kids working for me in the library at each place, four in the old library, four in the new. Three of these kids gave him a pile of books, and the fourth kid gave him, put a ticket in a book, and they moved on to the new library, and when they were finished, they went back to class. The second half of the period, the freshmen and seniors, freshmen and
sophomores,
they came up to the old library. They got their pile of books and did the same thing, and back down.
That was kind of cheap labor, wasn't it?
Cheap labor, right.
Using the students and to move the books.
And then when I saw some really strong kids, football players and the like, I said, oh, wait a minute, come here. I had to move different items.
The file cabinets?
Like the card catalog and...
tables? Chairs?
No, the tables we didn't take with us.
Oh, they're new tables, I guess.
We got all new tables, new chairs. And... or the dictionary stand and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
That's what they had, that's what they carried. Or they were proud of the word, you know.
Putting medals on themselves for being able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How many years
and,
were
oh,
you at the
one more thing.
Okay.
Leo Silvius came up to us at 4:30 and he said, when are you going to be open here? We said, you want to take out a book? Look in the card catalog. He went over, looked, he named something. He told the kid. The kid got it right away. Same day. And believe it or not, we had been open in the morning in the old library until school started. So.
Wait a minute. You're telling us you moved the whole library in one day?
One day in Mount St. Michael. There were 9,000 books at the time.
Holy moly.
Oh, look at how many kids they had. Give each one 10 books.
Oh, okay. I can see it.
Yeah,
you really made advantage of, took advantage of the help, and they were willing to do it because it's better than going to class.
Yeah,
they were carrying books. They were being busy. How many years were you at the Mount then as a librarian?
8 years at the Mount.
Okay, and you had some interesting experiences there, but we won't go through them now. We'll save that for another time. Some of the bandits who took books out under their capes.
Oh no, that was here. Oh, well, there was one. The same bandit at Mount St. Michael in here.
All right, we'll talk about him in time. Okay, so you have 8 years at the Mount as a librarian, and then finally you get assigned to come to Poughkeepsie. What year did you start in Poughkeepsie as librarian?
1958.
And where was the library?
The library at that time was in Greystone, all three floors.
All three floors, top floor, middle floor, and basement?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And there was an extension in the building we just tore down. It later became the library, you know.
Oh, Fontaine, yeah.
Fontaine.
Yeah, the old Fontaine.
The old Fontaine.
Back of the chapel. Okay.
And 4 years, I'm here 4 years, I moved the library into Donnelly Hall.
After being here for 4 years. But let's go back to the first year. And tell us about your staff. You had this library staff of how many?
When I became here, I was the staff.
You, one librarian?
One librarian.
And they said this was a college?
Yeah.
And we had only one librarian.
Well, there were 100 and something students, that's about all. Don't forget that.
Okay, that's true.
And then, what are they going to say?
One librarian. Where did you get the second librarian from?
A year later, they gave me a secretary.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Ann Benvey. Oh. She died in about 6 months ago. And about within a few more months, they gave me another librarian, Mrs. Marion Nichols. She just died this week,
uh-huh.
86 years old.
Uh-huh. Okay. Was she a professional librarian?
And Mrs. Nichols was a professional librarian. You bet she was.
Okay. In your time here, as the librarian, could you say something about the running of the library? Did you have a budget that you had to make up? And
yes, we had a budget, but
who
what happened was they would say the library budget is going up, but it was going up for additional salaries. It wasn't going up for books. In fact, in a 9-year period, the budget went from, for books alone, went from 16,000 down to 9,000 for books and magazines.
The budget went down?
The budget went down, right.
Because the expenses were actually being put more into labor, into the hiring, the salaries of people.
Right.
That's amazing.
And paying the kids.
All right. You had student help at the time. Okay. Who was the president when you were the librarian here?
Linus Foy was most of the time. And Dennis Murray came in towards the end.
Okay. So when you came here, Linus was already president.
Right.
Okay.
Well, actually, Linus was appointed in a few months after I got here. Paul Ambrose hired me.
I see.
Linus took over, became president of the college about 6 months after I got here.
Okay, and the reason was that Paul was assigned to go to Europe? Was
Paul was in Europe and became an assistant general, so they had to find somebody for the library.
Uh-huh. You were here how long? About 4 years, and you moved the library from Greystone down to Donnelly?
That's right.
Is that the way it went?
And 13 years later, moved it out of Donnelly into Fontaine.
Was it moved with the same rapidity that you moved at the Mount? Could you do that in a day?
It took me 2 weeks to move the first library, and then when I moved into Greystone, we had a company come in during the vacation period. So in between, in the Christmas vacation, between the first and second semester, we moved the library.
Okay, let's get the order now. First it's in Greystone, and then it moves from Greystone to Donnelly.
Right.
How long is it in Donnelly?
13 years.
And then from Donnelly it moves to?
Fontaine.
They've redone it, they've put in a floor, and they have revamped what was a study hall for the Marist Brothers, and a refectory. If you remember, there was a refectory downstairs. Okay. Now, in this period, how many more staff are you getting?
Oh, by the time I got out of here, I left 4 librarians and at least 4 or 5, maybe 6 clerical people, and I don't know how many students, because the students only could work 10 hours a week.
So you had the ability to kind of build up a big staff.
Right.
Okay. Was there much grief about that when you came and asked for another person? Or was it obvious that you needed it?
Some of both, especially the first.
There was some grief, huh? Did you have a system for knowing how much the library was used? Was there any kind of count system on of books in and out, or usage of books?
Oh, yes. We had a daily record of every book that was circulated, and magazines and so on. And
who did that? Was the librarian one of the clerks, or
one of the clerical people?
That was their job to get the count on how much there was.
Each book had a card. When the kid came in, he signed out. That card stayed in the library.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Of the 3 libraries, which one was your favorite? Was Greystone more fun than Donnelly, or did you like Fontaine best of all?
Fontaine. Greystone was a pain in the neck because 3 different floors, and the exits, the kids could go down the stairs, take out magazines, and
out the door.
Out the door without any being seen.
Yeah. Then that brings up another point about security. When did we get a system that you had to have the thing checked? There was a, you know, you go through a.
When we moved to Grace.
Fontaine.
Fontaine, we insisted on a check system at the door.
So that a bell would go off if someone went out?
That's right, the alarm would go off.
Okay.
If you walked out with a book that wasn't checked out.
Okay. Then, just while we're talking about this library and its development, there are other changes being made at the college. The college was moved from under the direction of the Marist Brothers to the Board of Trustees.
That's right.
Were you involved in any way with that? Did you?
No.
Did it change your life any in terms of budgets or personnel or anything? Well, life went on. You just reported to the president anyway.
Right. No, I started here. I reported to the president, and then I reported to an academic vice dean, vice president, and then to an assistant dean, and finally to an assistant dean.
So the. Okay, well then, at the same line though, the college is growing, the faculty is growing, there are more
right.
and more faculty, and there's more and more staff and help, and there's more and more maintenance, and so that general picture of growth is in all those lines, I think, as we're saying. What would you say if someone said, what is the biggest change from when just the brothers were here to the coming of the lay students? Did the library lose some of the reverence that it had before? We couldn't talk or read in the library. In later years, was there a breakdown of that? Or
I think so.
You think so?
Especially once they moved to
Fontaine. Uh-huh. And then
you'd
there
have
was...
Kids, if you speak, just speak for your table. Don't speak for the whole library.
Then the library became kind of a meeting place for study and for
right.
groups to prepare projects and things of that sort.
And we gradually increased the hours
yeah.
up as late as 10 o'clock at night.
I see.
And exam time till midnight.
Uh-huh.